wandering time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Do 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 do.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And we are brought to you by our wonderful sponsor, Hydramay Skin Nutrition. You can find their products at www.hydramay.com. That's HYDRAME.com. They have products for men and women, and they are wonderful, all-natural, all-organic skincare. Really cool stuff. And very reasonably priced, so please do check it out. Okay, tonight I have a good friend on, and you have heard her on before if you're a regular listener. I have Reverend Misa Hopkins. Hey, Misa, how are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Valerie, I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight?
Fabulous. It's really an interesting bunch of energy that's hitting us.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
It has been intense, very intense. The last couple of days I feel like I'm floating at times. Have you ever had that feeling where you just feel like you're floating out of your body a little bit and then you settle back in? It's very strange.
Yeah, I've been wondering when I get to go home.
Oh, yes.
I'm doing one of those things and going, oh, it just feels so heavy here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. Maybe our spirits are looking for a little more lightness in our lives. So I'm really glad that I have the husband that I do because he keeps me laughing and that keeps things light.
Yeah, that's nice. That helps because, boy, I'll tell you what, these energies that are swirling around, I have heard more strange things from people in the last couple of weeks and in the last couple of days. It's been like, wow, you know, because I do some online counseling with people, and I'll tell you, you know, the things that have been coming up, I'm really worried about the women, because the women are, like, becoming rabid.
Did you say rabid or rabbits here?
Yeah, rabid would be better than rabid, but it's, you know, it's just real interesting listening to some of the stuff going on out there. And, you know, you and I know it's all because of the energies and, you know, people just don't know what to do with them, especially in a big city. But, you know, also we know the feminine is coming in more than ever before. And so when I hear that women are really aggressive and angry and things like that, it kind of worries me. So,
it is a time for the feminine, and I think that what happens in that process is that there's also a deathing process where we're letting go of the way things have been, the way that life has been, and the way that we carry our own energy. Something is shifting and changing, and when that happens, there is a spiritual death going on. And I think when you're aware of it and you realize that spiritually something's dying, and so emotionally something is really moving, then you know how to hold that space, and you walk through the steps of death and dying and what that means, all the things that we do, including our anger, including bartering and negotiating, including denial, until we get to that place that we accept that we indeed are changing fundamentally, and maybe everybody around us isn't. Maybe it's we're the ones doing the changing, and that is the way that I think we're going to see ourselves as women and as men really embrace that sacred feminine nature within us, because we're slowing down, we're becoming aware of what's really happening. So the emotions make complete sense to me. that we're seeing some emotional energy on the rise right now. And I'm watching my clients do some very deep work around old habits and patterns that they must let go of, must transform and die to in order to make true transformation in their lives.
Absolutely. I've seen that. I've had more men calling me lately wondering what to do with crazy women and either wanting to take up with them or not understanding why they still want them after they were horrible, and you know, I mean, all kinds of things like that. And the men are getting kind of weepy about the whole thing. So it's amusing from an energetic standpoint to look at this and to know what's going on, but to realize that it's happening all over the place. And I can't tell you how many times I've said to somebody in the last week, you know what, relationships aren't supposed to work. Get over it. It's all about, you know, just being in the moment and stuff like that. And that's my segue into your book. For the listeners who have heard you before, they know that you're the wonderful singer and provider of the music for the theme for this show. And they've also heard you before, you know, on talking about sound medicine and you know, how to combat different things like the swine flu and the regular colds and flus and things like that. And I don't know if you know about your counseling that you do and about the book that you've written. And so if you talk a little bit about the book that's about to come out, and this is an exclusive, guys. We are the first ones to be talking about Misa's book, which will be available December 1st. That's the big launch. So if you would, Misa, tell them about the root of all healing and, you know, just kind of go into that, and that's 7 steps to healing anything. And people, it's a really neat book, so you might want to write this all down. So go ahead.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction. My years of sound medicine and working with people really has been a gift in terms of an opportunity to just observe what does and what doesn't seem to work when it comes to healing. Certainly many of us have had experiences perhaps where we've experienced energy healing and it made an immediate and significant impact and change. Other times we may have experienced a form of healing and not just necessarily energy healing, but using that as an example where we've experienced energy healing and nothing's happening. It's just moving very, very slowly. And there are reasons that methodologies do or do not work. It isn't always just based on the methodology itself. There's a whole subconscious world, spirit world, working inside of us that is making a difference, and an emotional reality that's going on that makes a difference in terms of whether we're going to heal or not. Well, I'm a teacher by trade. I mean, my first career was in special education. So I learned how to be an observer of people and how to be an observer of motivation. Mm-hmm. And I've incorporated that into all my work, even after I left teaching formally, at least in the education system. And that ability to observe is really what ultimately led me to writing the book. It was what I had observed all those years. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was going to write a book, Valerie. I really didn't know it. I love sharing this part of the story. I woke up 3 mornings in a row with the root of all healing right there on my tongue. I was like, the root of all healing. And, you know, I wrote it down in my dream journal. I was like, what the heck is that about? And so I called some friends of mine, some other healers, and I said, gosh, does this title trigger anything for you? Is there a workshop we need to be doing or a teleclass or something? The root of all healing. And my friend said, great title. Nope. I'm not getting any intuitive insights here, Misa. I think this one's yours. So I sat down at my computer after days of searching. I finally sat myself down and I typed out the root of all healing. And I looked at the computer screen and then I said, oh, fingers, just what else is there? And the next thing I typed out was 7 steps to healing anything. And I looked at the page and I said, I know 7 steps to healing anything? I was totally shocked. Oh, that's audacious, isn't it? Yeah, right. Anything. I laughed. Then I puttered around the house for a while, which is what I do when I have writer's block. And I sat back down and I said, well, here's the deal. I don't know if the personality, the ego, Misa, knows seven steps to healing anything, but I do know there's a source that does. I trust in that. And whenever something's been given to me in the past that came through so elegantly, if I follow the thread, what I need to know will come. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, there must be seven steps that spirit, the source, divine knows, and if I am willing to open up, it'll come through. My ears are good. I have good ears. Mm-hmm. I will know. And I started writing, and of course it was months and over a year of writing what it was that literally I had been observing all this time, that really are seven steps that people can apply to healing whatever trauma is occurring in their life. Mm-hmm. It applies, as it turns out, now that I've been teaching from this book, it applies as well to physical challenges as it does to emotional challenges. I've been seeing some really marvelous results from people actually using the steps and applying them. So I'm so excited, and yes, this is the premiere. Tonight is it. This is the first time I'm making a public announcement that it's in existence. It's been born.
Well, and I remember when you were done writing it, and you sent it out to a bunch of us to read and to give you some input on. And I remember thinking, you know, you laid it out so nicely. The steps are so simple, so easy, and anybody could do it without having to worry about, oh, you know, how do I do this? How do I do that? It's like, no, you know, you just made it simple. You know, it's not a ritual thing. It's not a, oh, you have to do this or it won't work. Instead, you're just really teaching people how to connect and how to really be more more cognizant of the processes going on within their own bodies.
It really is what I wanted the book to be. I truly do believe that the difference between healing and non-healing is how connected we are to Source in the moment. And there are many obstacles that we have to get through within ourselves in order to get that direct connection. Then we're making choices in terms of the healing methodologies that we choose, the healers that we go to, the principles that we apply, the fundamental changes that we make in our life begin to work because we're in alignment with our true path, not somebody else's path or their methodology or the treatments that they've used that have worked. We're in alignment with our own. And then the miracles start happening. And when the miracles start happening in your life and you get used to being in alignment like that on a regular basis, what others might deem to be miraculous start becoming normal for you. You are in that place where healing and eventually getting to a place where you're maintaining health and focusing on your wellness as opposed to getting better start happening, and that's exciting. That's very exciting.
Yeah, that is way exciting, especially for someone that hasn't experienced that before. You know, I find so many times when you show someone the simple natural methods of healing, the way that our ancestors have done it for millennia, and you kind of tap them back into that, they're shocked. You know, and it's like they can't believe their eyes, and yet they know the healing occurred.
Well, that's exactly it. There's a place, I believe, that we could call it an energy body if we wanted to give it a name. There's a knowingness within us, within our spirits, that we are already complete and whole. Mm-hmm. And what separates us from that wholeness are the beliefs and conditioning and fears and obstacles that we have built up in the way. between us and our connection to Source. And so when we allow ourselves to open to the very simple, basic kinds of approaches that we can use to help ourselves get back into alignment, then voila, it does happen. And it happens gradually and it happens naturally. Someone who read the book said something I thought that was very profound. He finished it and he said, wow, this is so obvious. It's amazing that it's never been put together this way before. And I said, yes, yes, that's how natural these steps are. That's what it should, natural healing is natural. That's the whole point. And the knowledge is within us. It's been clouded and forgotten. So when we go back to those basics, then the doors start opening up. And it is so wonderful, and it is so exciting to feel that vibrancy of life flowing through you again, because it energizes us to live our purpose, to meet the right person, you know, the love of our life. It energizes us to do work that's meaningful for us, to be of service. You know, all of that just goes away when we're ill, especially when we're chronically ill. Our whole life is about that illness. And of course, what we want is to feel sexy and to feel vibrant and feel alive and feel like our lives have purpose and meaning and to really enjoy life. So healing is that beautiful process that allows us to open up our own divine doorways so it can all happen.
And, you know, one of the things that I really liked that you put in the book was about creating miracles and creativity. And, you know, I probably to explain that to people because, you know, I'm an artist as well as, you know, doing all this left brain stuff. And, you know, it makes perfectly sense to me as a physician that when you unleash your creative power, that of course you're going to be healthier because you're pulling in the right brain and you're kind of ganging it up with the left brain so that you're actually functioning in a much more cohesive manner. And you're bringing in more of the divine light. And yet, most of the time when somebody talks about healing, they don't even address that. And you've got a couple sections in there where you're talking about use of creativity and talking about creating miracles and, you know, how to get the gunk out of the way, you know, releasing the need to blame, I think is really important. And just, you know, moving into a more forgiving aspect and, you know, stopping that stuff that we have been taught to do ever since we were kids. You know, people are afraid of getting in trouble, so they're pointing the fingers in every direction except at themselves. And, you know, and they're stopping themselves. They put the blocks up there. 9 times out of 10, it wasn't somebody else, you know, and the illness, you know, wasn't alive and coming after them. It was something they created for a purpose. And like I like this section you have in your book about pain can be addictive. Yeah. I have seen that. You know, I've got almost 4 years in the medical field. And most of those were spent as an RN. So I was like up close and personal with these people, you know, sometimes 16 hours a day. And I saw more people who were addicted to pain. And addicted to all of the sympathy and everything else that came with it. They didn't have to take responsibility. They didn't have to be nice. They didn't have to do anything they didn't want to do. They had people running around helping them. I'd step back and I'd watch this and I'd go, that person's never going to get well. They have too many secondary reinforcements. You know, there are too many rewards for their illness. So I thought that was great that you addressed that.
I'm glad you brought that up, Dr. Valerie. That's one of the pieces that came from a friend of mine, and I talk about it in the book. And he wasn't talking about healing at the time, but I watched it and its application in regard to my own healing, and then I started watching it in regard to my clients, and I went, oh my gosh, he's right. And what he said was, you will continue a behavior even if it is not particularly good for you if you're getting something out of it. And I went, Oh, you're right. And I knew that to be true from the children that I taught. If they're getting even the littlest benefit out of something, they'll continue to do it, even if the overall behavior is not good for them in general. Mm-hmm. And we do it all the time. I mean, we'll eat something we know we're allergic to and it's not good for us, but it tastes good.
Yeah.
And so we eat it, you know. There is a benefit to that, or a false sense of I'm in control of my body. I can take it, even though we're not yet fully in control of our bodies. We fool ourselves with that. So there is a sense of sort of a sense of control, or trying to get control. And there are all kinds of little things that are happening for us subconsciously that are reinforcing behaviors and choices that aren't good for us, including illness. And I think that really came home for me when I had the dream about my MS. I think I've talked about my MS on your show before, that I had a dream. I couldn't figure out what my symptoms were and why I was having so much trouble. And as you would know, symptoms for MS are like a lot of other symptoms. The early onset symptoms are really challenging in terms of identifying it as, oh, this is MS.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked in a dream, and what I got very clearly was MS, and I went, oh. Well, you know, most people would think of that as being terminal, and I don't think of conditions as terminal or non-terminal. They're just conditions that there are molecules that need to be retrained. That's how I think of it. And
yeah, they can be terminal if the people don't pay attention to what they're there for.
Exactly. But I don't tend to run in fear and say, oh, that's mm-hmm. terminal and there's nothing I can do about it. My mind just doesn't work that way anymore. So I got really still with the MS, and I said, so what am I getting out of you? What is it that I'm getting with the MS that is keeping me reinforced, and that somehow I have convinced myself I need to have this? And it was fascinating, the layers and layers of reinforcement that were there. I think that's very common in my experience with my illnesses. It certainly has been common in the experiences that I've had in supporting other people in their healing, that we do have these subconscious needs getting met through our illnesses. And if we just have the courage to look at ourselves and go in there and say, well, what the heck is it? And how could I get that need met in a new way, mm-hmm. in a healthier way? That's when we spring everything open. It's so powerful, and it takes so much courage to get there. So I like to share my own stories in the book so that people know I'm not just talking about what other people should do. I'm talking about what I've faced myself, the courage that I know it takes to do that.
Exactly, because then they know it's real. You know, then they understand that you understand what they're going through.
Oh, yeah.
But you've taken it a step further because they didn't think to take that step. They didn't know.
Exactly.
And that's what's really cool about your book, because you're pointing these things out so that people can go, oh, well, gosh, I never thought about asking, you know, my disease, what's it all about?
Mm-hmm.
But, you mm-hmm. know, the subconscious will answer you.
Oh, and it does. It does. And as we know, when we put a question out there into the universe, the answers come in some of the most interesting ways.
Absolutely.
You know,
you don't block
them. They would come.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's no block. If we're not filtering it, they'll come in anyway. It's just a matter of whether we are noticing the answers. And as soon as I really got those core pieces, I was able to relax. It was so freeing to say, oh, that's an ego need getting met. Oh, I don't need to do that. I really don't need to do that. And it was wonderful. The work eventually, well, first of all, I should tell you what the underlying piece for the MS was in your listeners, because it will make more sense. I really had a savior thing going on. There was this belief that I had all of this work that I needed to do, very important spiritual work, and it was up to me. It was not about it's up to us. I knew that consciously, and that's what I said consciously. But subconsciously, what was really going on is it's all up to me. It's on my shoulders. Very much like a Christ complex, you know, savior of the world kind of energy. And I looked at that, and I got really clear with it, and I said, wow. Wow, nobody's that big.
Good
point. I think I can let go of you, you know, and just love the part of me that had felt all of that pressure, wherever it came from, whatever lifetimes or whatever happened in this lifetime. I just kept loving those parts that had come to that conclusion. And just caring for them and saying, I'm so sorry you feel like you have to do all that. That's too big. That's too big a burden. There are all these wonderful, beautiful people on the planet all doing their part. And just look at the power of what we're all doing. Really look at it with your heart, not just with your head and your conscious mind that knows that that's true, but with your heart. And the beautiful piece in this is that it led me to my work. It's part of what led me to the book. It's certainly what led me to creating my website, which is selfhealingsecrets.com, where we're sharing our stories with each other. And we're getting to say, oh, my goodness, this is where I got myself hung up. This is how I got myself the healing. And look at the power that that generates planetarily when we're all together in this, sharing our stories, and we're healing. We're changing the consciousness of the planet together.
Absolutely.
One little healing piece at a time. Wow, is that exciting?
It is way exciting.
It is, and to see the divine in
everything. Well, like I told you, you know, when I first went out to do the road tour, I didn't have much hope for humanity. The second year I did, I could see a difference. Now, it's not that I thought I made all that difference, but what I knew was there were a bunch of people who were all of like mind, and we were all out there doing our thing. And it's kind of like we were little kids at camp, and we woke up first. And we went around waking everybody else up. And so now there's starting to be this big groundswell of people who are starting to come to more realization of themselves, not only in the body, but as themselves as spirits inhabiting the body and realizing there's a different way to do things. And I call it quantum physics. Other people call it spiritual. You know, same thing. I call it spiritual, too. But, you know, as we start to do these things and we start to really examine the difference between ego and spirit and realizing how we got into these different states that we got into, then we can set about changing. It's like the standard thing is, hey, you know, you caused it yourself. And while that's bad news that that happened, it's also good news because it means that you can uncause it and you can cause healing, too.
Yes, and you know, one of the aspects and concepts I really tried to portray in the book is that we really need to let go of this judgment that something is wrong with me because I created an illness. We've really got to let go of that. It's part of what we do to help ourselves be challenged enough to go deeper into our divine expression and pull that divine power forward and through us. And yes, eventually, I truly believe we will reach a place where we just don't need to challenge ourselves in those ways anymore. But it is the way of Earth. It is the way of being in a body. And it doesn't mean we've done something wrong. It means that we've given ourselves this great gift, this great opportunity to transcend what previously we might have thought wasn't even transcendable.
True.
That is divine power in motion on Earth. And that's the power that we are unleashing through our bodies. So it's our opportunity. Whatever it is that we've created, it's our blessing, our gift, and our opportunity. And I know that's a real challenging place to get to when you're feeling depressed and when you're aching and when you're hurting. It's easier to see that in hindsight. I know that for sure from my own experiences. But it is there. And there is that hope that's living in ourselves. And we can feel it. It's like, but do I really have to just live with this pain and this agony and the suffering forever? And the answer is ours to give. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be yes or it's going to be no. And anything in between is a yes, we have to live with it. We really have to get to an absolute place where we're saying, no, I don't have to live with this forever. And yes, this is what I choose to embrace and move toward that reality over and over and over again. This is what I'm choosing to be, live, and embrace in my life. And make that choice with all the hope and all the vigor and all the life force that we've got.
Well, and sometimes, too, even if you don't know exactly what's going on, if you ask for help and, you know, really open yourself to being guided, then it happens. Like, remember, back when we first became friends and we were doing the women's water ceremony, full moon ceremony, and remember the energy started coming through me so heavy. And all of a sudden, my legs got really, really heavy, and I was shaking. And it got to the point where I was trying to draw blood on somebody, and I was shaking so bad. And I thought, oh, my God, this poor person. I mean, I'm really good at sticking people with needles. And I did okay, but it was like, oh, my God. And I'm watching myself doing this going, what in the hell is wrong with me? And remember, we were puzzling over that, and everybody was trying to help me, and I was going, oh my God, you know, I got to do something about this, because how am I going to take care of my patients if I'm shaking this bad? And what it ended up being was I had to go down to a chiropractor who's an energy healer and does some amazing stuff of moving kundalini energy that's stuck. And he said, well, I was just trying to rise, but he said, you had all these blockages there because of all these things that have happened to you that you haven't released. And so he helped me with it, and it was a bizarre experience. And, you know, I'm open to all kinds of stuff, so I'm like, hey, I'll go for it. You know, just make it stop. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you're going to shake worse before you don't. And I was like, what? I said, what do you mean? He said, you'll shake more before you don't. Mm-hmm. And he just walks off, leaving me with that cryptic statement. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to totally, like, let go, because I have no idea what the hell that means. And so I'm laying there on the table, and he comes over, and he just wiggles his fingers in the air over me. And I could feel the energy just start zipping around. And all of a sudden, I started shaking. First, it was the shoulder. And then my body was quiet for a bit. And then it was the foot. And then my body was quiet. And then it was my head. And then pretty soon, my whole body was shaking and doing things that I didn't know the body could do. I swear my head turned around a couple times.
All the way to 60.
It was so bizarre. And I'm laying there experiencing this for like 2 hours straight. I shook violently. Mm. And like my legs and my arms would pop up all by themselves. My head was doing these things like, you know, in that movie Total Recall, when Arnold Schwarzenegger has the fake head on, and all of a sudden it short circuits and it starts going crazy. It was like that. I was like, oh my God. I mean, I've seen bodies do a lot of things. I had no idea the body could do these things. And I went through this, and when it was all over, I was like, wow, what the heck was that? And he said, I've helped thousands of people through this. He said, this is just a thing where your energy just gets stuck, and, you know, as you progress spiritually, this energy has to go somewhere, and it starts trying to come up, and if it's a blockage, then you're going to get an illness or disease that has something to do with that blockage until you remove the blockage. And exactly. So, you know, he was working on me, and I had two treatments. That was it. And then I was done. And I haven't had any shaking since. And it was so funny. I have to tell you, too, one of the funniest things that happened to me was I'm laying there on the table in the second treatment. And I could always tell when this guy walked in the room. I could feel him coming, like, you know, 20 feet away. And he thought that I was sleeping, but I knew he was there. And he walked up next to me, and he does a couple little more adjustments in the air above me. And so I'm shaking and stuff, and I felt this zip of energy go all the way up my body like lightning bolts. Mm-hmm. And then I started to think I was seeing lightning bolts, and I opened my eyes, and I looked at him. And I was so shocked. I'm laying on there on the table with my eyes wide, looking at him and going, ah, ah, ah. And all I saw was a Dennis the Menace whirlwind of white.
Yeah.
And it was just like in the cartoons with these kind of Japanese eyes staring out at me, brown Japanese eyes, in this cloud, this tornado of white with lightning bolts coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. And I laughed almost fell off the table.
Oh, I am so glad you shared this story. I was thinking about this very concept today and saying I need to write an article about this one. You know, it's the one of the reasons I think we have to, we need to, we must let go of our judgments about healing, because that is so common. I've been seeing it now with two or three clients just in the last week, where they're letting in so much energy and their bodies are not ready to be the conduits for that much energy yet. And so they're suffering. They're having pain. And it's not because they're doing anything wrong at all. Not at all. The energy just wants through.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to become the clear conduit for that energy to go through. And that's, of course, as I said earlier, that's when you're in alignment. We're not doing anything wrong. It's not bad. In fact, it's good news. It's saying, oh, we're ready for another level of energy. Oh, what do I need to do to clear the path and to make it open so that the Kundalini is flowing through? That is that divine spark and that divine energy. So, yes, yes, yes. And when we have the courage to ask for help, and this is, of course, one of the reasons I think creativity is important, is that it gets us to the right help. One of the things that I've seen happen with many of my clients, and I'm sure you've seen it too, Dr. Valerie, and that's treatment shopping. This didn't work, so now I'm going to go over here and I'm going to try this, and that didn't work, so then I'm going to try that. And what happens is you just keep trying and trying and trying, and often nothing is working. And so what's happening is there's a reinforcement that nothing will work. And, of course, that's not true. So when I see that I'm stuck in that pattern, when I see my clients are stuck in that pattern, what I usually say is go get creative. And this is why. Because inspiration and intuition are kissing cousins. No, they're really, really close. And we often interchange those words. That's how close they are. So if you're in your inspiration, whatever that is, whether it's, you know, you love to plant gardens or you love to paint, inspiration can be a lot of things. But if you're in that place where you're feeling inspiration, that's where you're the most connected with life, with the universe, with God, with divine, with spirit, with, you know, whatever you want to call it, quantum reality. When you're in that inspiration, you're in the flow. And that's where we get our insights and our messages. When our inspiration is sparked, our intuition is also sparked. And instead of needing to try a lot of things, it'll feel and settle in your body with a sense of clarity that, oh, I need to go see Dr. So-and-so. Oh, I need to put on that meditation tape that I have. You just feel it, know it, you do it. When you are in that place,
will prompt you to do it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's one of many reasons that creativity is so important in the healing process. It's opening up the conduit. And it's fun.
Exactly.
And it's fun. You're feeling alive. You know, you're feeling the joy of life. That's motivating.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. You know, when you bring in that energy, a lot of people will mistake it as sexual energy. It's creation energy. And I've tried to explain this to people, and men have a really hard time with this. Women get it better, you know. But energy is energy. And when you have creation energy coming into you, it will hit your sexual center, and it will make you feel aroused, you know. And so you'll go around thinking, oh, I'm just really horny today. And it's like, if you took that energy, if you understood that that is the energy of the creative force of the universe that you've been blessed with, and you take that energy and you go do something with it other than, you know, masturbating or going and finding a partner to have sex with or whatever. But if you take that energy to create something, then or to heal, you know, to pull it inward and, mm-hmm. and to really heal with it, you're doing something with it that is going to increase your ability to do it again. And creativity is one of the best ways to release that kind of stuff and to keep using it and to keep getting more.
Absolutely. And sexual release will help. If, and particularly if you're with a partner where together you can work with it as energy and help it move through the channels of your body. So it's actually moving through.
Like with tantric sex.
Exactly, as in Tantra, where you're actually moving it upward, up the channels and up the different chakras until you've hit the chakra that's at its pinnacle. Yeah, absolutely. And, yes, you can draw that energy upward and out your hands to heal, or for me, it's out my throat chakra to sing, or, in fact, that is the energy. I'm pulling it upward when I am doing sound medicine. It is the creative life force energy, and it can be expressed in so many ways. And that's giving to life. You're giving to life. That's what it's all about, is that you're in that cycle of creation. It's very, very powerful. And, of course, you know, as we become more conscious of that energy and allowing it to flow through us freely, and making sure that we give our body every opportunity and our emotions every opportunity to create the space, then we're really in that vibrancy of life. That's where we ultimately want to be.
Absolutely. You know, we forget.
That's why we do all
this stuff.
We get so busy.
You know, we're stuck in the negativity and running around in the mundane world and feeling our hurts and our insults and everything else, you know, that people have perpetrated upon us and we have perpetrated upon others. And, you know, people get locked into this kind of treadmill, like a bunch of little gerbils, you know, and they start running around and doing the same thing over and over and wondering why they're not getting different results, which, of course, is the definition of insanity. But mm-hmm. if they would just take this energy and just become more aware of it and use it, they could improve their lives so much. And just, you know, mm-hmm. channel it in the direction that you want to go. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, you know, as an artist, too, that whenever I start getting stuck, you know, with all this third brain or left brain stuff that I, oh, maybe I'm getting a third brain, too. You never know. But with all this left brain stuff, you know, it's gets you after a while, you know. I mean, I'm one of those people, I can sit down at the computer for 10 hours and research. That would drive most people up a wall. But I'm used to doing it, you know. And I find that sometimes, though, it's like, I just need to go create something other than writing. You know, I love to write, and I love doing the radio show. But sometimes I need to go create a piece of art that is purely visual and is just colors and textures and things like that. And sometimes I'll go out into the forest, you know, or wherever I am, and I'll just go, like, pile some rocks together, make something really beautiful, or clean up an area, you know, where people have left garbage. I'll take a garbage bag out and some gloves, and I just go clean it all up, and then I make a beautiful little spot that's like a magical spot that people could find. That's creativity, too. And, I mean, it's just kind of cool thinking, hey, somebody's going to walk into this spot and go, wow, this is so cool. And, you know, that's one way that you use creative energy, and it's one way that you spread it around the planet. But, you know, you could do something like that for yourself and go sit in the middle of it and just welcome this creative energy into yourself and use it to heal.
Oh, absolutely. We get focused on the wrong place when we're in pain, particularly because the pain is so pervasive that mm-hmm. we become focused on the pain. We talk about the pain. We give it a lot of our life force energy and attention, pain. And I think one of the great challenges and great opportunities in healing is to move through and beyond the pain so that the pain becomes a symptom of the past, not an experience of our new present moment. And one of the ways that we get there is through creativity. When we're fully and completely immersed in our creative expression, that's when those moments occur that time passes and we don't even realize it's passed. There have been multiple studies done that show that when we are engaged in creative activities, individuals will notice less pain. I think the only one that doesn't get affected is nausea. Nausea is pretty doggone pervasive. But pain and its nuances, other than nausea, tend to disappear for us, or at least subside. And that's wonderful, because then our life force is in the right place. We're reinforcing ourselves as alive.
It makes sense too. For instance, when you look at what senses have priority in the brain, that can give you a clue to that kind of stuff. There was a treatment that I used to do when I first got out of school that was basically a rack. And so what you did was you strapped somebody down on the rack and you pulled them apart. And it's a pretty intense treatment. Because it's very quick, it hurts afterwards. It doesn't hurt while you're doing it, because everything's getting pulled apart and stretched. But it hurts like hell afterwards, because the little tiny muscles along the spine were not meant for that kind of action. And so, you know, they start to protest. One of the things that we would do is take one of the big vibrator units, you know, the big, like, you know, 9-inch ones that takes two hands to hold, and we just go, up and down somebody's spine for a few minutes, and the pain completely went away, because the sense of vibration has a higher priority in the brain than the sense of pain does. And so if you're doing something that's creative that you really enjoy, then you're using parts of the brain that are no longer able to pay attention to the pain, because there's a higher priority placed upon the creative thing that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and I watched that happen emotionally for my brother just recently. I was back with my family. My sister-in-law crossed over. And it was very, very challenging for my brother. And my family came together, which is, we all do when there's, you know, trauma in our family. We all get together. And after the memorial service, we did what we have always done as a family, in good times and in bad. We laughed our fool heads off. We cracked jokes. We talked about funny times with them. We just talked about life in every kind of way that you can imagine, teased each other in ways that made us laugh. And I saw pure joy in my brother's face. It was like, if he could have said it, he would have said, "Thank you for taking my mind off of my pain for a while." Mm-hmm. I just got to be alive and be happy, which is how I was with my wife. You know, that's how they were when the family got together, when they were a part of that together. And when everybody got up to leave, I watched his face draw in, and I watched it get pale and the tears start to well up. And I knew, and I could feel with him in empathy, that he was realizing his aloneness again, that loneliness, that she was gone, and he was going to need to go into that emotional experience for a while so that he could be in that healing space. And both of those energies were very important. He's going to need to mourn. He needs to mourn the loss of his beloved. And he needed the gift of life, of family and laughter, to remind himself that nothing is permanent. Nothing
exactly
is permanent. It's all changing. It's all mutable. It's all in motion. And what I feel in this moment is not necessarily what I have to feel or will feel in the next moment. It will all change. When we are in our emotional suffering and we know that it isn't going to last, we really know it. We can accept that it's mutable. It's changeable. It helps us be able to be present with those feelings, those difficult feelings, so that they can be released and they can be honored.
That brings up a question, too. There are so many people right now that are struggling so much with trying to release, and they keep going over and over and over the old stuff and the old hurts, and their anger is there, and their pain and their suffering, and they remember every moment, and mm-hmm. they just can't seem to let it go. So what do you suggest for those people?
I have one cure for that one. One. I'm sorry, I'm very limited. It's a big one, though.
Hey, if it works, that's all you need.
It's a big one, and that is compassion.
Mm.
And we've got to get to compassion for ourselves, in my experience, before we can get to it with others. And often that kind of pain that goes on and on and on, that kind of emotional pain, is predicated on hurts and wounds that have occurred with others. Mm-hmm. And what I have learned to do, and this came with the water ceremony that you were talking about earlier, Dr. Valerie, it was a meditation that was given to me by some beautiful Native grandmothers in the spiritual realms, and they've asked me to pass it on, and I do. And it's on our website at New Dream Foundation. What I have learned to do and what I have encouraged others to do, and there are many of us that do this as a practice now, a regular daily or nearly daily practice, and that is to take the feeling that we are having into compassion.
Mm.
And so I take my anger or my frustration, not the other person, but my feeling toward them, into and about them, into compassion. So when I get frustrated, which doesn't happen very often, thankfully, with my husband, I can take this feeling of frustration with him, like, what is going on with him? That's my feeling, not his, mine. Take it inside of me, and we have an amazing ability to hold that feeling and the feeling of compassion at the same time.
It's
totally amazing. When the feeling is acknowledged in full and complete compassion, it dissipates. And the really, really miraculous part of this is, so does the relationship change. Almost instantaneously. And sometimes without ever having to do or say anything. The energy is so profound, so intense, so pervasive, because it's moving across all of our barriers. It's going right through them, my barrier and his, mm-hmm. into a place where we are able to be present at a whole different emotional level and ultimately a whole different physical level and spiritual level. So compassion is the great healer.
That's an important thing, too, because, you know, it's hard to get people to understand that even the nastiest, rottenest person on the planet is still a spark of God, of the all that is. And, you know, while you may hate what they've done to you and you don't want to be around them, you still owe it to them to love the spark of life that is within them, because that's really the divineness. And even if they're not showing the divineness at the time, but that's the challenge for so many people who have been hurt so deeply and who continue to be hurt by terrible things that people are doing. I mean, I've watched some stuff happen lately where you just kind of scratch your head and go, what are those people thinking? You know, how could they go and do things like they've done to their friends and their loved ones? And you just kind of look at them and blink and go, wow. You know, it's just unbelievable. And so when you start, you know, getting people on that path to clearing some of this crap out, that's an important thing, you know, and it's I think it's really the beginning of healing for a lot of people. And like, I'll have people that will come to me and they'll say, well, I've got X, Y, and Z, and I'll tell them, okay, at some point we're going to have to address your mental emotional state regarding this. And energetic state also. But I want you to understand, I want you to get, you know, supported first. I want you to, you know, have some physical reserves before we go hit these because they're going to be pretty intense. And then I'll get to a certain point and I'll say, okay, now you need to go for the mental emotional stuff. And here's what I suggest. And I'll give them the suggestions or send them to somebody to go get something done. And then they're able to move through it, whereas it would have been too soon to do it at the beginning. And, well, there's never a too late, I guess, but, you know, but you have to have them at least able to sustain the energy to move through this stuff, too. Because what I'm finding is that the energy that's hitting the planet is so intense now, and it's getting more intense, and it is pushing us forward. You know, there's no more laying back or sitting on the fence. You know, now you got to go, and that's it. So you might as well grab your hat and hang on and figure out how you're going to work through this stuff. Yeah, otherwise, you just drive yourself crazy, you know?
Well, and the physical body has got to have the support of the emotional body in order to heal. I don't even make a distinction anymore. They go hand in hand. If there is something physical going on, I check to see what's going on emotionally. If there's something emotional going on, I know I'm going to need to tend to my body. Because they're working in concert. They're not really two separate entities. It's all wrapped up in one, you know. The cells are all integrated here. So I know that I need to tend to both. And what I also know is that from my own experience, and again, observing many, many clients, is that for most of us that I've experienced, the people in my life, it has been impossible for us to get to compassion for others without first getting to it for ourselves.
Sure.
We've got to be able to feel that empathy, that pity, that sympathy for what we have gone through, for the choices that we've made. I mean, I've sat in my own compassion meditations with an, I'm sorry, girl, that I have put you through so much of this. I'm sorry I chose such a doggone difficult pathway. I'm really sorry that I'm doing it this way, and I really love you, and I really care about you, and we are going to continue to find easier and gentler ways to be in the world and ways that are more fun. I promise you, we are. And just to hold that understanding that we get frustrated, we get down on ourselves, we're the hardest on ourselves. If we think we're hard on other people, we need to stop and listen to the self-talk that's going on inside of us. We're usually much harder on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're complaining about other people and other situations, it's a great time to catch ourselves, to stop and say, all right, if I'm complaining about everything else, what about me am I complaining about? What about me am I judging? And take those feelings that we have into a place of compassion so they can transform. Then I find it is much easier to be with that spark of God in another, that spark of the divine, and say, oh, man, if I was this wounded, how wounded must you be, too? Mm-hmm. And hold them and be present with them and be compassionate. And I do quite a talk, by the way, in my classes about there's a difference between compassion and compassion without boundaries. And there is a place, I think, where we can take compassion to such a place that we forget that boundaries are part of loving, too. So when I say compassion, I don't mean the kind of compassion that just lets people walk all over you. I don't mean that. I
right.
mean a
you
true
just,
profound
You don't become a doormat with your compassion. And if somebody's really being nasty, just avoid them.
Yeah, there are many, many ways to be with that. And compassion can be a focus of energy within you that also helps hold space for them. However, there are clearly times in our lives where I think we've gotten that all confused and we've turned compassion and codependency and they are not the same thing. So
exactly.
I mean that in terms of its truest sense, where it is true love and understanding, but also love and understanding of yourself and what you need in order to move through this world in a good way.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, I've had to say that to several people this week. You know, it's like, forget your obsession for so-and-so, you know. What is it that you need? Let's try that first. Then you can look at this person and see if they're providing those things that you need, because if they aren't, it's not going to work anyway. So, like, get over the obsession, you know.
Find out
what is it that you really want, you know, and be real about it. And, boy, I've seen more confused people lately, and, you know, it's like they don't even think about the simple things. But because of my compassion, I'm able to look at them and go, yeah, I get where you're coming from. Now let's get you out of that hole that you just dug yourself.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's looking for your needs to be met outside of yourself. And that's the addictive stuff.
Yeah.
We're looking for our needs.
Absolutely.
To be met.
They go looking for somebody else to be the drug, you know?
Yep.
And you can't do that. You have to be happy within yourself, and then you can go find a really good relationship because you'll only be looking for somebody who's also happy within themselves. So this hour has just gone by like crazy. Go ahead and give your contact information, if you would, Misa.
Oh, thanks. Oh, my gosh. The hour is here. It's the book is The Root of All Healing. You can find it at barnesandnoble.com, and I invite you to check out my website at selfhealingsecrets.com, and that's self with a dash between self and healing. So self-healingsecrets.com.
Awesome.
And do we have a moment for them to hear your testimonial on the back of my book?
Sure.
All right. This is what Dr. Valerie had to say. She said, if everyone seeking medical and holistic help read this and addressed the hidden barriers to healing, they would get healthier faster with less struggle. I want all my patients to have this book. And
yep,
there it
I
is,
did
folks.
Say that.
You did say that. There's the word. From someone I respect and trust greatly. I'm just so honored to have your testimonial on the book.
Well, you know, it was an honor to be able to give it to you because, you know, we have just had such an amazing time, you know, since we've known each other and just grown together in all these crazy things that we do as healers. And it's just really, it's my privilege, really, to have experienced what you bring to the world in healing. And I'm really happy about it. And I keep telling people, you know, hey, you know, you're going to find that frequency healing is the way to go. And, you know, I've explained a couple times about how amazing it was to feel the energy that you were singing move through my body and do these things and then teaching me how to do some of these things. And it's just amazing. So I think that people could really benefit by having your book and by seeing these very simple things. I mean, you laid it out so succinctly. You know, very simply, it's like, people, if you're not doing these things, this is why you're not healing. And this would be a lot easier for me just to hand somebody this book and go, here, go read this, and then we'll talk.
Oh, and we want people to heal. That's what it's all about. Find your power, find your healing. And that's the greatest privilege of all, is being able to support others in their journey. So thank you for supporting me and mine, Dr. Valerie. I truly appreciate that, and it's going to be a great journey getting this book out to lots of people who I think are going to benefit from it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for, first of all, for writing the book and for being you, and thank you for being on the show. And I love my theme song, by the way.
Yeah,
that's
I'm so glad.
That is just so cool. It just says it all perfectly. So I'm very grateful that you allowed me to use that because it's pretty amazing. Okay, people, we have been talking with my good friend, Reverend Misa Hopkins, and her website is healingsecrets.com.
Healing Secrets.
Healing Secrets. Self-healingsecrets.com. And the book is The Root of All Healing, 7 Steps to Healing Anything. So watch for that December 1st. And please do order that on that date, because if you get a lot of orders within 24 hours, don't you go up higher in the list or something?
Yeah, it gives us an opportunity to be an Amazon bestseller. So if folks go to selfhealingsecrets.com and sign up to be on my Inspired Healing Messages, they'll get the notice when the book is being launched, and we'll invite you to buy a copy for you and for someone you love.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. As always, Misa, it's been a pleasure, and I'll have you back on in January to talk about the book again you know, see what people have been saying about it and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Boy, that hour just flew by. So let me first mention, it always does, you know. You're just wonderful to speak with.
Thank you.
So, yeah, it's just really cool. I'm very blessed to have you as a friend. Thank you.
And, well, thanks for letting me be here, and I'll look forward to sharing about the workshop that we're doing also, the workshop opportunities in January. So
awesome.
It'll be good to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We'll talk about all that. Okay. Oh, the New Dream Foundation. Where can they find out about that?
That's at newdreamfoundation.com. And we're all about creating global spiritual family. This is the nonprofit that I'm the director for. Creating global spiritual family with a special emphasis on the sacred feminine.
Awesome.
Lots of good stuff there, including the creation meditation that will teach people how to go deeper into compassion.
Awesome. All right, people, so that gives you a few things to do until next week. And, as usual, the show has been brought to you by our wonderful sponsor, Hydramay Skin Nutrition. You can find them at www.hydramay.com, HYDRAME.com. And they have several products of all natural organic skincare. Delicious, wonderful stuff that your skin just goes yum-yum over. It soaks it right up. Non-greasy. It's really cool. It's like being a kid again, you know, smear it all over your skin and it just soaks it right up. So give that a try. So until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Good night.
Children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to do 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 do